السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغني حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومن الماء البارد، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the believers, the mu'mineen, those people who proclaim to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be Muslimin, to be mu'mineen, to be followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then one of their qualities is that their love for Allah is intense. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Their love for Allah is intense. Therefore, from this ayat of the Quran Sharif, we understand that every single Muslim and mu'min will have, should have, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. Of course, the intensity and the degree of the intensity of the love that each individual possesses in his heart may vary. However, we are taught in the dua by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we mentioned in the introduction, a beautiful dua. The duas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are a miracle in itself. It's a mu'jiza in itself. In this dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, and if we study the collection of duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is as if everything that was good for us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to ask for it. And everything that is harmful for us, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in his duas to seek protection and refuge from it. In this dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Allah, Allahumma, inni as'aluka hubbak, I am asking you for your love. This love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is hidden. It is contained within the heart. It is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever is in the heart can be concealed. It also tends to be a little bit of a problem, in the sense that similarly, just as the good qualities in the heart are hidden, so too the evil traits which are in the heart are hidden. Hence you find that if a person has got evil intentions, or for example he's got hypocrisy in his heart, he's not a true Muslim, a true mu'min. He is disguising himself as a Muslim, but that faith has not really entered his heart. We cannot see inside that heart. So that tends to become a little bit of a problem, in the sense that if a person is a munafiq or a hypocrite and he is sitting in an important mashwara or gathering, then because he is a hypocrite, he is looking for opportunity to create mischief. And then certain things may be said in his presence, which he may then take and distort and create a problem. That's the issue that arises. However, it is also rahmat that a person may have been a hypocrite at one time. However, Allah Ta'ala concealed that, and at a later stage in his life he made tawbah and istighfar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave. Now if that was exposed, we can well imagine how embarrassing that may have been. So Allah Ta'ala had disguised it. So the heart, when what we possess within our hearts is completely hidden. The ulama ikrams explain that the heart is the king of the body. Even in the medical field, the heart is a very important organ. If a person has got some complication in the heart, then the entire body tends to be suffering. If the heart collapses, the whole body may cease to function. So the heart in the medical field is so important. It's similarly, the spiritual heart is so important. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, that this Quran Sharif will be a means of hidayat for those individuals who possess hearts. Hearts in the true sense of the word. Allah Ta'ala yet again alludes to the heart, and Allah Ta'ala says that خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ, that when a person continuously commits sins and commits sins and commits sins and commits sins, a stage eventually is reached when that heart becomes sealed. Now when the heart is sealed, he can sit in bayans from the morning till the evening. He can read the Quran from cover to cover. But because the heart has become encapsulated and sealed, unfortunately hidayah doesn't enter the heart. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. In another dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us another beautiful dua. Allahumma aftah أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. Oh Allah, unlock our hearts. Unlock our hearts through your dhikr and through your remembrance. In other words, in this dua, we understand that when, how we can counter the effects of the sealing of the heart is through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person feels that, you know what is being mentioned, I do find that when I sit in a talk, it's not affecting my heart. Perhaps my heart is becoming a little bit sealed. Let me engage in the remembrance of Allah. Let me recite some Quran. Let me make some dhikrullah. Let me read some salah. Let me think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This inshallah will counter the effects of sealing of the heart. Allahumma aftah aqfala qulubina bidhikrik. Allah, unlock our hearts through your remembrance. So the heart is the king of the body. And what we possess in our hearts is so essential. That's why Allama Muhaddith Dahlawi Rahmatullah Ali, he was a great scholar in the Indian subcontinent. At that time when we had the Mughal kings, very, very wealthy, they had their wealth and they had their palaces and they had their guards of honor, etc., etc. So he addressed those kings. He says, "O rulers, when you will leave this world, you will leave your crowns behind. But when Shah Muhaddith leaves the grave and goes into the grave, he will take those pearls and gems in his heart with him." And what were those pearls and those gems? Those pearls and gems of the ma'rifat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which one can achieve within one's heart. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi says that Allah Ta'ala is such a powerful dhat and being that not even the world can contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Musa ala nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam addressed Allah. He was known as Kareemullah. He used to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Qala Rabbi arini anzur ilayk." Oh Allah, I want to see you. I talk to you. Revelation comes from you. Jibreel alayhi salam converses to you and communicates with me. I want to see you directly. Allah Ta'ala responded, "Qala lan tara." Oh Musa, you will not be able to see me. But Musa alayhi salam was insistent that I want to see you. Allah Ta'ala said, "Okay, let's do this." Allah Ta'ala instructed and said to Musa alayhi salam, "Oh Musa, what I will do is, I will release a fraction of my tajalli." Now Allah Ta'ala is beyond our understanding. The human mind is limited. The human mind is absolutely limited and it cannot understand a being that is unlimited. To understand this, some people say, "Well, I have intelligence, why are you stopping me from?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is strictly prohibited. Tafakkaru fi khalqillah wa la tafakkaru fillah. Do not ponder about Allah Himself. Look at the creation of Allah and you will understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Wala ka kalam hai. Arey yaro, jo khaliq hai shakar ka, جمال شمس نور قمر کا نہ پوچھو لذت نام خدا کی حلاوت نام پاک کبریا کی. He says, oh friends, ارے یارو جو خالق ہے شکر کا, that Allah who is the خالق of sugar, that Allah who created the sweetness in sugar, جو خالق ہے شکر کا, جمال شمس نور قمر کا, that Allah who created the beauty of the sun, the perfection of the moon, don't even ask about the sweetness that one can derive by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that person, when he looks at the sun, he sees the might of the sun, he sees the power of the sun, he sees how the sun is able to completely destroy and annihilate all darkness, and how the moon is so beautiful, the full moon at night. So when he looks at the full moon and he says, oh Allah, if this is the beauty of the full moon, how beautiful you must be. One sahabi, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was entering Madinatul Munawwara on his conveyance. Those days they didn't have the lights that we have today, and the, you know, the lights on the highways and so on. They would travel in total darkness, no torches. So he was traveling in this condition, and as he was entering Madinatul Munawwara, the sky was illuminated by the constellation of stars. And he looked at the stars and he said, Subhanallah. He marveled at the beauty of the stars. He just looked at the stars and he said, Ya ayyuha as-sama'u wal-nujum, anna laki rabban khaliqan, Allahumma ghfirli. He says, oh sky and oh stars, you definitely have a creator. You couldn't have just come here. So beautiful. He said, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Bas. He entered Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem Sahasam summoned him. He says, Allah has sent down wahi and has instructed me to inform you that He has forgiven all your sins. What amal did you do? What is it that you did that Allah forgave all your sins? Ya Rasulullah, nothing I did. But there must be something. Oh Nabi of Allah, only thing I did was when I entered Madinatul Munawwara, I looked at the stars and I looked at the sky and I addressed Allah. I marveled at the beauty of the sky and the stars and I asked Allah to forgive me. That is why when we ponder over the creation of Allah, this itself is a great form of ibadah. A person looks at his children, says, Subhanallah, how Allah gave me these children. Look at how intelligent they are. Look at how they're able to achieve things. Ya Allah, this is only your karam and your fazal. He thinks of Allah, he asks Allah to forgive him on that occasion. That is why this is one sunnah of the sahaba. And inshallah, it can give you forgiveness. Sometimes you are driving at night and you catch sight of the full moon, or you catch sight on the highway of the stars. Read this dua. Even if you say it in English, Ya ayyuha as-sama'u wan-nujum, oh sky and oh stars, you definitely have a khaliq, you definitely have a malik. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive our sins. So we cannot ponder over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are taught by Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we ponder over the creation. And you will understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, look at your own bodies, look at your own selves, can't you see the greatness of Allah? Every single individual who is born has a unique fingerprint. You will find two children of the same parents, yet they have a unique fingerprint. Now, this in itself is marvelous. I mean, if we had to say, no, Allah Ta'ala, or, you know, it just naturally happened. It just happened automatically. Those people who believe in the Darwin's theory of evolution, that there was one explosion that suddenly took place, and all of a sudden this happened and that happened and this happened. So it doesn't make sense at all. One person was an atheist, didn't believe in the existence of a creator in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So he started convincing people. He was very academic. People became convinced, they didn't know how to answer him. So he challenged Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, I would like to have a debate with him. So the message reached Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He says, no problem, let him set the date, we'll meet. It was well advertised, people gathered, thousands of people gathered. As they gathered, the date and time was set, this person came on the stage. Imam Abu Hanifa was nowhere to be seen. Time is up, he's not there. Now he started saying, you see, I won the debate. He's not even here. He probably got some cold feet and decided to backtrack. and disappear. People waited and waited. After a lengthy period of time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi arrives. Very delayed. But he intentionally did this. He says, well, you need to answer to the people. You've caused so much of inconvenience. What kind of a lead you are? And went on and on. He said, no, let me explain to you what happened. You see, I was coming. And as I was coming, as en route, there is a river that I need to cross. I usually always cross the river. There's somebody there with a boat. I pay him something. He takes me across. Today when I came there, there was no one available. All the boatsmen had disappeared. They were not there. So I waited. I didn't know what to do. But suddenly, one lightning bolt came from the sky. It hit the tree and tree nearby. The tree fell on the ground. And suddenly, the tree split into two pieces. From the one half, a boat suddenly formed. Looked at the boat, and suddenly the boat went into the river. So I jumped into the boat and I came across. So that person started laughing at him. He says, who are you trying to fool? Looks like you've gone slightly mad. How can a lightning bolt just come from the sky and suddenly tree collapses, and suddenly from there a boat becomes existent, and suddenly the boat automatically takes you across? Who are you trying to fool? He says, well, I've won the debate. So what do you mean? He says, you are not prepared to accept that a simple little boat formed on its own from a tree, and you expect us to believe that this entire universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, every single creature and every single organism, all came into existence automatically. Allahu Akbar. You can't accept a little boat came into existence on its own. You want us to believe that the whole world that is so complex came into existence on its own. So definitely, if we ponder over these things, the fingerprint, for example, unique. If somebody had to tell you, make 1,000 patterns in a small little area, we may still be able to achieve it. Make 1 million, now it becomes more complex. Make it more challenging, no, you make it in total darkness. Switch off the lights, now make it. It's practically impossible. No two patterns must be the same. Allah has created insan from the time of Adam alayhi salam, and it's still happening as we speak. Yet no two individuals' fingerprints are the same. Is this not a sign of the greatness of Allah and the existence of a creator and a being that is controlling everything? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot ponder over Allah himself. Our minds cannot withstand the capacity. It is like the example of a person who takes a little scale that is used to measure grams in a jeweler store. He goes to the Kruger National Park and he addresses the elephants. Oh, elephants, come here. I would like to weigh you. Probably that elephant, if he sneezes too, that scale will be destroyed. It doesn't have the capacity. Our minds cannot understand Allah. Allah is beyond our understanding. Where the mind ends, the greatest intelligence ends, Allah Ta'ala's being only starts after that. Allah is beyond our understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be contained in this world. Musa alayhi salam, coming back to that incident, he said, Ya Allah, I want to see you. Allah said, I will reveal a fraction of my tajalli onto the mountain. It is said that from that fraction, Allah Ta'ala fractionalized it even further. Oh Musa, if the mountain remains as it is, you will see a part of it. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّنْ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala says, when Allah Ta'ala revealed his tajalli onto that mountain, that entire mountain split into pieces and Musa alayhi salam fell down onto the ground unconscious. So Allah Ta'ala cannot be contained in this world. But Allah Ta'ala can be contained in the heart of a believer. The heart of every mu'min and believer has got the capacity to contain Allah within that heart. That is why people who are the friends of Allah, one title that is given to them is Sahibul Qalb, or in Urdu, Ahle Dil. Ye Ahle Dil log. These are people of heart. Why? What do they have in their heart? They have Allah in their hearts. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, it should be every Muslim and believer's aspiration to get Allah Ta'ala into our hearts. Another question that will be arise, that if a person wants a guest to come into his house, some mehman, he wants to host a very important guest, but now in that room where he's going to be seating the guests, He's got some dead dogs and dead rats, some rotting corpses there, some meat that is bacteria infested, and some maggots and worms all running around there. Will that guest be comfortable sitting in a room like that? In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be contained within hearts. But to get Allah ta'ala into a heart, the person has to purify that heart. He has to completely purify that heart. Rid that heart of all those dead corpses and bodies. The evil of jealousy, of malice, of hatred, of greed, of pride. When a person annihilates his heart and completely cleans out his heart of these base evil desires, then Allah comes into that heart. And when Allah comes into that heart, respected elders and brothers, then that person who has got Allah in his heart, that person who has seen the brightness of the sun, will he ever be impressed with a little candle? That is why the friends of Allah, they are not impressed by the wealth of this world, because they have got the Khaliq of all the treasures of the seven heavens and earth in their hearts. You can't bribe. Some people feel they go to the Allah Walas and they present one or two gifts and they're not impressed by our gifts or our wealth. They've got Allah in their hearts. That money makes no difference to them whatsoever. They know very well that that Allah who gave money to an individual, that Allah who made someone rich, He can reduce that person to rags faster than even made him rich. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء. Allah is the one who grants wealth. Allah is the one who snatches away wealth. So the friends and the arifs of Allah, those who recognize Allah, they are not impressed by people's wealth. One person, very, very wealthy, lot of name and fame, he came and he sat in front of some friend of Allah. So people, that Buzuruk realized he's got a lot of pride, so he sort of ignored it. When finally the chance came for him to speak, so he told the Buzuruk, "Janta wo main kaun hu? You know who I am? You know who I am?" So he says, "Yes, I know very well who you are. You were first absolutely nothing. As you stand right now, you have filth within your body. And tomorrow when you will be reduced into the grave, you will become a rotting corpse." What are we proud of? Why are we proud? There's nothing to be proud about. Whatever we have achieved within our lives is only and solely through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, a very important aspect in our lives is to develop this ishq and this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person becomes an ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him to wake up for Fajr Salah will not become, forget becoming easy, it'll become enjoyable. Today it's a matter of Fajr Salah, Mawlana, I put the alarm and I still didn't wake up. Three alarms, I'm not waking up. That person who's an ashik of Allah, who's a lover of Allah, when he goes to sleep at night, Isha time, he will be waiting. When can I once again stand before my Allah and speak to him in Fajr Salah? May Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. I don't have it myself. We all should make an effort to get it. But it's a matter of fikr. Some people complain, I can't wake up for Fajr Salah. The reality is we don't have fikr for Salah. That fikr, that concern for Salah is not there. If a person knows tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock or 5:30, he's got a flight overseas. He spent 10,000 rand on the flight. He probably wouldn't even sleep at night. He'll get 2-3 people to wake him up. Why? He's got fikr. I mustn't miss my flight. Because if I miss the flight, you know, a lot of money is going. Took me months and months to earn the money. I had to save and save, you know, put it away, hide underneath the mattress and here and there. Now finally I was able to, you know, now he knows the value of money. And he's got fikr, he mustn't lose that flight, because he goes to the airport, he's late. And tell him, sorry, boarding gates are closed. You missed the flight, or you need to pay so much more to get onto the next flight. Big concern. Fikr, he'll make sure 5:30 he's at the airport. Fikr. If we can get that same fikr for our Fajr Salah, that I have to stand before my Allah, that Allah who is showering favors and bounties upon me, every single split second, my heart is continuously pumping through the hukam of Allah, that Allah is allowing the blood to flow within my body. He's only asking me to stand 5 times a day in front of Him. And that too, I will be benefiting in the process. So respected elders and brothers, this ishq and this love of Allah is such an important thing in the dua. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has asked Allah, Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I'm asking for your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. And Allah, grant me the love of those who love you. That means, let me love those who are your lovers. From this, ulama ikram explained that one way of developing the love of Allah Ta'ala is to start loving the ashiks of Allah. Person who starts loving the mashayikh, the ulama, the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, he starts loving them, then this is a sign that inshallah eventually the person will be blessed with the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكُ. Oh Allah, let me love those who love you. Look at the sahaba ikram, look at the kind of love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unparalleled. When you read sometimes the incidents of the sahaba ikram and the love that they express for Janabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. To what extent they were prepared to go to show their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah ta'ala bless us with a fraction of that. Look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu Allahu Akbar. What kind of love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That incident, one incident we mentioned in the cave of Hira, or in the cave of Thawr rather, when they were traveling and making hijrah. So he covered all the holes inside that cave. We know the incident. There was one hole that was not unable to cover it due to the fact that he didn't have anything to cover it. He had completely torn his entire upper garment and covered every hole. So there was one hole left. Nabi Kareem Sassim was exhausted. He placed his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In that condition, Nabi Kareem Sassim was resting. Can you imagine how fortunate Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was, sitting down there and looking at the, forget the beauty of this, the sun and the moon. Can you imagine the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of him? Allahu Akbar. Anyway, in that condition, something bit the foot of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Snake, scorpion, whatever it may be. The pain was so intense. But yet, he thought to himself on the one side that my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tired. He needs the rest. If I'm going to move, then I will be disturbing the sleep of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he took that pain within himself, even though it meant that there's a possibility that your life may go due to the poison. But what happened was that due to the extreme pain, his eyes began to tear. And one tear fell on the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He opened his eyes and he saw. And look at this. This is love. That he was prepared to sacrifice his life, but not even disturb the sleep of Rasulullah. We haven't even understood what love is. We don't even have a fraction of that love. This was the love that Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala bless us with even a fraction of that mahabbat and love. So this is, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُ. Allah, grant me the love of those who love you. وَالْعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّغُنِ يُحُبَّكُ. And Allah, grant me the love of all those actions which will engender and create within my heart your love. And then he goes further on to say, oh Allah, make your love such, Allahumma jahubbak ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa min al-ma'il barid. Oh Allah, I must love you so dearly, more than what I love myself, more than what I love my family, and more than the desire for cold water on a hot day. Now a person may ask, but what does it mean? You must completely get rid of your family and your children. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that when there is now a challenge, on the one hand, the wife or the children are making a demand which is against the command of Allah. Now comes the test. Who do you love more? If you love Allah more, then you will fulfill the command of Allah, even though it means sacrificing the pleasure of your family and your wife. But on the contrary, if a person is prepared to sacrifice the command of Allah in fulfilling the desire, the haram and evil desire of the wife or the children, then this is a sign that the level of love is deficient. We won't say it's not there, but we will say it's deficient. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with his ishq and his love. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the entire ummah, especially the Muslims who are suffering in Burma. They are regarded as amongst the most oppressed groups of people in the entire world. May Allah ta'ala alleviate their suffering. Sometimes a person starts questioning, why is Allah ta'ala allowing these things to happen? But we must never ever question the hikmah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his body to be completely mutilated. This didn't mean that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not accepted in the sight of Allah. Sometimes Allah ta'ala allows this to happen to individuals to give them great, great stages in Jannah. This world is very temporary. All of us are heading to our graves. Allah Ta'ala gives, makes an excuse for some people through their suffering and through their oppression and through their sabr. Allah gives them higher stages than others. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, nevertheless we say that Ya Allah, change that test to the rahmat of ease. Allah Ta'ala must change it to ease and comfort. Allah Ta'ala should take the entire ummah to the road of shukr and not through the road of sabr. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.